What's going on, everybody? This is Yosef from Value Basketball Skills Trainer.
I'm Coleman from By Any Means Basketball, and welcome to Under the Microscope, where we dissect the entire art of basketball. So I was doing a little bit of research the other day, and I came across a study, and more so like a theory, that kind of upset my nerves a little bit, kind of hit me close to the heart. So a little backstory to start. I believe in 1988, I think there probably been research done before that, but I believe that's when the project was completed. Dr. Amos Tversky, I think that's how you say his name, he basically took the entire 76ers season, mind you, this was 1988, and combined all of their shots and kind of analyzed the data, combed through everything, and he basically came up with a statistical theory that says, as humans, when something is completely random, we tend to notice patterns that occur. So normally the chance of a shot going in the game of basketball is completely random, right? Like, it's an even, say, 40%, depending on who you are. But when you make six in a row, for example, that's a pattern out of the ordinary. Like, normally you wouldn't make six in a row, so we would notice that pattern. So we see that as being on fire or having the hot hand, even though it could be completely due to chance. So basically, every researcher who's done a project and kind of tried to prove this theory is saying that shooting the ball is essentially like the flip of a coin. If you flip a coin 10 times, there's a chance you get heads 8 times, and there's a chance you get heads twice. Same thing with shooting the rock. Like, if you make 8, there's a chance you're going to make 8. And then there's a chance you're going to make 2. One is considered having an extremely hot hand, and the other one is considered being ice cold. And I think they actually showed that it's a little bit more likely to follow a make with a miss than with another make. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because you have Nobel Prize winners backing this entire notion. Like, these guys are geniuses, and they have a point, but I think the thing is, they're not hoopers, and they're financial analysts, they're statisticians, they're economists, and I think we do have to avoid using our emotions when we're trying to counter this argument, getting too emotionally connected with what we believe is like the hot hand. We got to be objective as possible, but it's hard for us because we've been growing up with this. We feel it whenever we play the game of basketball. So excuse us if, instead of using postulates and all this mathematical shit, we're using anecdotal and more physiological terms. But I think there's some value in that as well, because I do think it takes someone with experience in basketball to think critically about it. While we do kind of have a predisposition to noticing patterns, no one's going to deny that. These patterns happen for a reason, and I think there's psychological factors at play, so confidence, anxiety, those can all affect your jumper with extreme magnitude. There are physiological factors at play. Like, a good warm-up will increase the muscle temperature, which will bring you more of a range of motion in your shoulder, for example, which will allow you to mimic the shot you've been practicing and storing away in your muscle memory for years. So I think there's way more than just the fact that it could possibly come down to chance, and that's kind of what we're trying to just really discuss in this episode.
Yeah,
kind of a long intro, but just it takes a lot to kind of understand what they're trying to say, and I think we're going to try to not necessarily counter. If we end up agreeing with them at the end of this podcast, I'm not going to be mad, but we're just going to kind of have a discussion about how it could be true, the hot hand that is, how it may not be true, and we'll go from there. So first off, do you have any ideas, any theories? Do you agree with it, not agree with it, half agree with it? What do you think about it?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I just want to, like, get down to the numbers of it. So you mentioned earlier how, say, somebody has, like, 40% from the field shooting percentage, and let's say they make 5 shots in a row. And this is assumed that their shooting percentage is their shooting percentage, like, solely their shooting, not like layups or
floater and so stuff like that. So let's say like top of the key 40%. Three.
Yeah, exactly. So let's say that. So let's say they get in those situations in the game and they get the top of the key 3-5 times in a row. Mm-hmm. Well, let's not say like a specific spot. Let's just say like their 3-point percentage as a whole. Because so we have like their 40% 3-point shooters, and then in a game they hit 4 or 5 threes in a row. That's not extremely uncommon to basketball players all around, but if we do the math for that, the chances of that actually happening are very, very small. So we have to take each individual shot as its own event and then multiply the probability of each of those shots as individual events. So if it's 5 shots in a row, each at 40% likeliness of going in, then it's 40% times 40% times 40% times, or about 5 times. And then let me do the math on that real quick. So that's 0.4 times 0.4 times 0.4 times 0.4 times 0.4.
Mind you, this is common in a game, too.
Yeah, and if you multiply that by 100, there's a 1% chance of that supposed to be happening statistically in a basketball game. So we, just off that, I think that just relying only on the stats and the numbers is really kind of unfair to, like, judging whether the hot hand or is real or not. It's because statistically, like, this should only be happening 1% of the time. Like 99% of the time, you won't see a player make 4 or 5 shots in a row, which I think we both know is like very, very false. We've seen guys make 4 or 5, even like 8 to 9 shots almost commonly at this point in the NBA now.
Especially in the NBA right now.
Yeah, we got guys like Steph. But then again, these are professionals, but then also at the same time, the man that did that study did it with the 76ers.
Yeah.
So, but another consideration to make is that he did that study in the 80s when, like, basketball isn't as highly efficient and productive as it is now.
That's a very good point.
So it's kind of like interesting.
I think there's definitely more to take into account. And tell me what you think about this, because the way I see shooting – it's kind of not perfectly, but a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like,
yeah,
if you think you're going to make a shot, you're going to be more likely to make it.
Yeah.
If you are timid and you don't think you're going to make the shot, you're going to be less likely to make it, because everyone knows this. Like, when you're shooting with confidence, you're just letting that shit fly.
Yeah.
If you feel like it's going in, your shot literally will be. Yeah. Your shot will literally be different from when you're shooting timidly. When you've missed 3 in a row, you start to make these micro changes in your shot. You may not notice them, but your shot probably is slower. You're trying to focus more rather than just trusting your work. And I think that's a huge factor in this, is that just the fact of kind of unconscious skill, where we've practiced something for so long that once you start thinking about it, that's where choking comes into play. And there's a ton of research on that too that shows that when you kind of store something away in your muscle memory, the more you think about it in the moment, the more likely you are to choke. And when you're going to be, I guarantee you're going to be thinking about your shot more when you've missed 5 in a row and your coach is thinking about taking you out of the game if you don't get the next one.
Yeah. And in addition to that, like if let's say you miss 5-6 shots in a row, the coach isn't going to treat each of those shots as individual shots. Like, okay, well, the next shot is 40% chance is going to go in. If you're missing 4 or 5 shots in a row, that's a very obvious sign to your coach that you're not feeling it right now. You're cold, so he got to take you out and do what has to be what's best for the team. But so that just goes even further to show how, like, it's the, like, it just, I just, it just has to exist. Like, the, it's like a weird, I don't know how to explain.
No, that's right. I agree. And that's why I was saying, like, I feel like we're emotionally attached to it, which leads me to think, like, maybe everything I'm saying right now is biased, which it could be true. I could be just saying everything in support of it and not even considering, although I have tried to consider all the factors that may disprove it. But, I mean, even if you think about it, I was just thinking about this earlier today when I came across this, is that especially with the technology now, I think it would be interesting to kind of update this study and kind of account for mindset. Like, they only accounted for the purely mathematical probability information. Like, if there was some way to objectively quantify a player's mindset, I don't know, like, maybe potentially using brain waves, like MRI, whatever, I feel like that would be more valuable. Like, what's the correlation between confidence, or what's the correlation between less active thinking and the shot going in. Like we were talking about earlier, the more conscious you are about your mechanics, the more likely you are to choke. So that would be interesting, potentially studying like the effects of EMG, which is essentially the electrical activity of the muscle. So maybe measuring after you miss five shots, how your muscle EMG compares to after you've made five shots. Which muscles are more active. I could see like, I mean, again, I'm going completely off the top on this, but generally when you're shooting, your tricep is a very prime mover. If you miss five in a row and you're really thinking about it and you're really trying to control everything, your bicep may be more activated because it's kind of trying to lead it in and it's trying to control that shot. And you haven't been shooting in practice with your bicep activated, which will lead you to missing more shots. So it'd be cool to see kind of EMG studies on that, looking at like potential brain activity. There's so much that you can do now these days that I think doing it with just numbers and statistics isn't really doing it justice. And it's kind of unfair to say that the hot hand doesn't exist purely off of this one method of probability.
Yeah. And also at the same time, what I find pretty like ironic or like kind of interesting is that as like a player or from the outside, like when you're watching a basketball player and you see somebody lighting up the court, like dropping 8, 9, 10 points in a row, you're thinking, oh, he's hot for sure. But like as that player, you're actually thinking of, or not even thinking, but you're approaching each shot as an individual shot. It has nothing to do with the last shot or like the shot that's kind of come in the future, right? So it's kind of like, it's interesting how like from the outside looking in, it's hard to say that it doesn't exist, but when you're like when you're actually in a hot, in the zone moment, or like when you're actually like in that mental zone where people like say they block out and like forget about everything, you're in the moment that you're not really thinking about the last shot anyways. So it's kind of like, is the last shot being irrelevant kind of, or is it more of also the confidence making that last shot goes into making this next shot? So it's kind of like an interesting perspective on that. I feel like that might have been the quote that scientist or that researcher had when he was doing that study, but it's interesting.
And I think even like anecdotally, like do you really think Klay Thompson scoring 37 points in a quarter is just purely by chance?
No.
Like you cannot tell me you can't tell me that. Yeah. I don't care because
he's done it plenty of times. Like he's had high scoring numbers very often.
Exactly. It's so like radical where he's either cold or hot. The kind of standard deviation to go in like statistical terms is probably so much higher than any like probability would. The standard deviation is just extremely high for probably averages, but if he averages 22 points a game, then he's averaging like 5.5 points a quarter. There's been quarters where he scores zero, and there have been quarters where he scores 37 points. The two ends of the spectrum, I guarantee you, are much more heavily weighted than him scoring 5 points in the quarter. And I think that just goes to show that probability is, it just doesn't apply in basketball as much as these kind of non-basketball like analysts would predict, because it's just, there's too many psychological factors, there's too many physiological factors.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you kind of try to downplay the effect of those, it's not going to work out. It's not.
Yeah, and it's like if we take this even further and just like apply statistics to the game, like if a team is 30-2, let's say they're on like a 15-game win streak, they're obviously on a win streak. Their confidence is shooting skyrocketed. Like they're coming in likely to win again. It's not something that you have to rely on like their previous, like their how many points they average versus how many points the other team averages. If the other team averages more points, they're going to lose. No, if it's a lot more than just the numbers that are in place. So it's kind of like probability and the statistics aren't as like useful in projections, I say, in basketball. They're more so just helpful in historical recounts or historical statistics.
I agree. It's so hard to predict anything. I think it was kind of good to think out loud for me, at least, for this, because it's been on my mind all day. Like, it's something that we know from when we're young as hell. Like, if you get hot, you're on fire. And like when someone kind of tries to come to attack that and they won a Nobel Prize and you're like, oh shit, like,
what's
it doesn't exist. And it's almost going to change your entire perspective of how basketball works. But it's good to kind of have that conversation and consider everything.
I would definitely like to see that study done again in this time, in this day and age of basketball. And then the technology that we have also, just to like combine brain activity with the actual confidence type players that we have now.
So if anyone listening has that technology, we'd love to collaborate on that study. So let us know. So this is kind of a short episode, but we just wanted to get in and kind of clear the air on this, because I think we're both questioning it. And it was good to bring this to you guys as well. So thank you guys for tuning in. If you have any questions about this or anything else basketball related, let us know. You can find our contacts in the description of the podcast. Keep tuning in. We got a lot of shit coming for you guys.
Yep. And if you guys disagree with anything we say, please reach out just as much as you would if you agree.
Stay safe, everybody. Appreciate you guys again, as always.